We are going back to the beginning. Good place to start, right? At the beginning. And we're beginning a two-year-long reading through God's Word together. Truly, the Bible is God's love letter to us, that He wants to have a relationship with us, and He's communicated with us, and He invites us to listen to Him as He speaks to us, because all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. It's a good place to go. It's a God telling us who he is, that he desires a relationship with us, and what it means to walk with him. So if there's one challenge I have for you today, it's to read through God's word. Now, some of you are not readers. I understand that. I'm not a big reader either, believe it or not. And so I was ready to recommend that you get one of those, remember a CD? You used to stick them in your cars, you know, you remember that. And all of a sudden, I'm going along and taking my walk and going, wait a minute, the YouVersion offers me the ESV, English Standard Version, and I'm going to look at it, and down the bottom,
chapter 8, but God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark.
Now I don't even know how to turn it off.
Fountains of the deep.
There we go. So, 20-minute walk. You can go through for your reading for that day. Now, some of you don't even want to take a walk. So, you can put it in your car. And just your smartphone. And you say, well, is that just as official if you listen to the Word of God rather than read the Word of God? And when you think about it, through history, most people did not have access to a written word. They listened to the Word of God. And what I've noticed is you actually pick up different truths and different emphases by hearing the Bible read to you. So I'm encouraging you to join this journey to read through the Scriptures together. Now, Genesis. We're going to be going through 7-8 chapters a week. So we're not always going to get down into every detail of a passage. But there are a couple of opportunities. On the Sunday morning, we will study something of what you've read that past week. And you say, it's only January 3rd. If you haven't started, you're only 2 days behind. And you can jump in right now. And on Wednesday night, on family night, we'll have a continuing Bible study during family night, which has children's ministries and youth ministries. We'll continue our study of that portion of Scripture. So I invite you Sunday mornings, Wednesday evenings. Some of you might be inspired to join. I have a Bible study on Wednesday morning from 8:30 to 9:30, which we study God's Word. So sometime, some of your home community groups may jump in and read and study some of these portions of Scripture. So I invite you to be part of this journey, wherever you are on the journey, to start with us and read the Bible with us. I like what C.S. Lewis said, I believe in God as I believe the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else more clearly. We will see all of reality more clearly from the perspective of God's Word. God's Word brings light into the darkness of our world. Ambrose of Milan said, we do not seek to impose anything on the world. Instead, we propose a more excellent way. And think about that as we go to Genesis 1. We're going to first look at our identity, who we are, who God created us to be. And on the sixth day of creation, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. When we look at what God says about who we are and see ourselves in the light of our Creator, We see how what he's created us to be. You see how confused the world is about identity. Because if you think you're just a product of time and chance, you're just an accident, then you have no sense of purpose or significance or direction. A biblical worldview begins with God as creator. The word bara, he has created, and he's created something new. And our significance is found in the fact that we've been created by God. We are valuable because God has created us. And when he created us, he said, "Let us make man in our image." You already see some inkling that in the unity of God, there's a triunity. Let us make man in our image. And we discover that God is relational in his being forever and ever. And then he created us in his image for a relationship with him. That word image of God, so many thoughts have been expressed, but he created us to express his likeness. He created us as persons who are capable of a relationship with our Creator, to worship him and to serve him. To be made in the image of God speaks of our spirituality, that we're made to have a spiritual existence in relating to God. Our rationality is part of being created in the image of God, who he's designed us to be. Our industriousness, he made work, and we find satisfaction in our work. He's creative, and he created us in the image of the Creator. We are social, enjoying a relationship with God, but also with one another. He created us pure. He created us as moral beings with a capacity to choose to follow him or to rebel against him. God is the one who created us in his image, after his likeness. So wherever a person is, there's a reflection of the image of God. It's an expression of who God is in who we are. Those who have studied archaeology can testify to the fact that there was a cultural burst in a time framework consistent with the biblical creation event. And all of a sudden in archaeology, and as you study the layers of the earth, you find in this sudden cultural big bang, musical instruments, art, clothing, religious ceremonies, tools, complex language, and believe it or not, jewelry. When you think about jewelry, you think, oh, what a waste. No. It shows beauty and creativity. That was part of being created in the image of God. Think of that the next time you buy some jewelry. Created in the image of God. All of creation testifies to the fact that there's a designer of this world, and we are an expression of God's design. He even created every aspect of this earth just so we can live in it and enjoy it and be provided for in it. God loved us so much. We could spend all our time focusing on that creation, but I want to focus specifically on creating the person. God has created us in his image. The psalmist says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He defines our being made in the image of God as including maleness and femaleness. God divinely designed us. We do not define ourselves. And God said, we are very good. When he created us, he said, very good. But here's an important point of the creation. Because God created us, he is our owner. He is our master. We serve the one who made us. The one who designed us knows how we should best live. God designed you and me with a purpose, and that purpose is found in having a relationship with him. St. Augustine declares, our souls are restless until they find their rest in him. You are not an accident. You are the result of the design of God. And you will find your significance and purpose in that relationship with Him. Well, the Genesis goes on to give us our responsibility. God created a beautiful garden for Adam to work in. It may be in the very area of Iraq. Now think about that. God created this beautiful place called Eden. Beautiful plants. Human beings were placed in a healthy environment, providing for their needs. Now look at Baghdad today with the failure of humanity. And what a contrast you see. The Creator designed such a beautiful place, and into that place He placed Adam, and He says you are to cultivate that, and you are to nurture that. And I want to give you a sense of dual responsibility given to us in that garden. It was not only to cultivate the garden, to produce food, but it was, those same words have a spiritual emphasis of cultivation, of obedience to God. In fact, the very first thing He says to Adam, you are not to eat of the tree of good and evil. That's a spiritual task. In the middle of the garden with a physical task was a spiritual task. We have a responsibility, and our work is to use our hands to serve God and our hearts to serve God. We are given a physical and a spiritual task. And we are not going to find our fulfillment in life simply doing a physical task without a spiritual purpose for that task. You need both to give meaning and purpose in life. Then we focus on the nature that God made us. And I'll read that again in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God formed Adam, which really means the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the chayim, the breath of life. And Adam became a living soul. So you are both physical and spiritual. You're not either or. You're not just a container in which God put a spirit. You are spiritual and physical, and the whole thing is the living soul. We were made as a physical and spiritual being. Jesus rose from the dead physically. When Jesus comes again, He's going to give us a new body. We are physical and spiritual, and that makes us a whole being. Therefore, that's why I'm encouraging you to walk with God this year. I mean, put in the earbuds, listen to the scripture, and take that 20-minute walk. Because if you neglect the temple, the body, it's going to hurt the spirit. And by the way, if you neglect the spirit, you hurt the body. The two are intertwined. God created us whole. That's the nature of who we are. And then He made us for relationship. When God looked at, he didn't need us. God was wholly satisfied as the triune God, living forever as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He didn't need us. However, because He's a relational God, He created us with a relational need. We're not to travel this life alone. First, He wants us to enjoy a relationship with God. Life is not full to what God has designed us to be without a relationship with the Creator. But then He didn't create us to walk alone in this life. And the example He gives in the creation story is that of marriage. Clearly, the apex of relationship humanly is that marriage relationship. That doesn't mean God doesn't call people to lives of celibacy and solitude. But in terms of human relationship, He created male and female and designed marriage. And that's what He focuses on here. after he's placed Adam in the garden, he gave Adam his first science responsibility. He created science in the first chapters of Genesis when he tells Adam to name all the creatures. That's a big task. I don't know how many creatures there are. There's fewer today than when God created them because we've distorted and destroyed the world that he made. But from the beginning, there was lots of and he named them all. That's a big task. That was the first. He was observing, categorizing, designing. But then he gave a visual observation as Adam's looking at all these creatures and said they all come in pairs. And there was not one designed for Adam. And that's when Adam created, that's when God created Eve. And clearly, when he brought Eve to man, man said, "Whoa, man." And that's where you get woman from. No, I don't think that's, I think the Hebrew is actually Ish and Isha, but you got it. I hope you remember something else from the sermon. That's what he designed to complement. And now some people go, he calls Eve, the woman, a helper. And I don't know about you, does that kind of sound like, that's not what it means. In the Psalms, God is called the helper. God is our helper. And it means an ally who comes alongside to help fulfill the mission and calling that God has. It is not a diminutive term. It's a complementary term. Men and women both are equally created in the image of God. However, they're given complementary responsibilities and functions as equal before God. Equal does not mean same. Same is not the same as equal. You can be of equal value and have different tasks and different responsibilities. And the complementary task was helper, an ally, one who is essential for victory or the completion of assigned task. And Adam was in that garden, and that was a physical task, but it was a spiritual task. God gave Adam Eve to help him become fully the man of God that he was called to be. And by the way, Paul does the reciprocal in Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. Both complementary responsibilities of helping each other become all that God has created us to be. That's the relationship that God has given. Don't mess with marriage. Nurture it, invest in it, protect it, be faithful to it. Clearly, we come now to the moral. What's our dilemma? I'll devote more time on Wednesday night because this section takes a lot of focus. Some have a hard time believing in God because of the evil in the world. But when God created, he said it was very good. But he did create human beings with the capacity to choose. That Genesis 3 passage, I could talk to you in so much more detail, but part of being made in the image of God is the capacity to choose. He put us in a perfect environment, but into that environment came the serpent, the evil one. And we realize that there was evil already in the world prior to Adam and Eve. And the serpent goes for one key point. What's the core of his temptation? I believe the core of his temptation is, you don't really believe God has your best interest in view, do you? Do you see what I'm saying? You know, when God said this, is that really best for you? You know, I actually have a better way. I have a way that will help you know more than what God wanted you to know. Do you think the serpent had the story correct? He actually deceives. And out of human pride to be like God, we said, oh, we know a better way to live than our Creator knows. How are we doing at it, folks? Do you see the consequence of saying to the Creator, I don't trust you. I don't believe that you know what's best for me. I'm going to decide to live life my way rather than your way. That's what the fall is all about. It distorted marriage. It twisted the image of God. It cursed the ground. It caused both moral and natural evil in our world. We just messed up what God created. But here's the good news. I just focusing on the, he didn't leave us in our fallenness. He reached out to us. He entered that garden and he called out to Adam and Eve and he provided a way of salvation. That's the good news. God is not leaving us in our predicament. The whole of the Bible is the message of God reaching out to us. We chose to go our own way. He's reaching out to us. We disobeyed his commands. He said, I have a plan of salvation. That's the invitation, my invitation to you, that God desires a relationship with you because he created you in his image for a relationship with him. And he's pursuing you and wants you to receive the gift of salvation that he offers. From the very beginning, he didn't leave us in our terrible predicament, but he wants you to know him. And for those of us who know him, he wants us to grow in that relationship with him. And that's what this whole study is about as we go through these years together. By God's grace, walk through this so we grow in our relationship with God by listening to what he has to say and having his view of life and living our lives under his lordship and serving him, because he created you for a relationship with him that will last forever. This is eternal life. This is eternal life, that you may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this beginning, a book of beginnings. We learn about the beginning of our existence. We also learn about the beginning of our failings. But we also learn about the beginning of our salvation. And Lord, we thank you that today, as we begin a new year, the invitation is extended to us to begin that relationship with you and to grow in that relationship with you. Forgetting what lies behind, we press on toward the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. I pray for each one who's come today that they would come to know you and they would grow in you, that our restless souls would find security in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.